Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. In our gospel reading today, we hear that Jesus goes home. He goes back to where he grew up, the neighborhood he was grew up in, the people that knew him. You know, what's it like for you to go home where you grew up? I mean, I see Jimmy and Ashley here today, and they came back from Denver to where they grew up, and it's good to see them and their family. What's it like? Well, yesterday, Joan and I had the joy of having lunch with my cousin Gary and his wife Lisa, and they live in Elwood City, still where I grew up. And we asked how things were going, and it's really changed. You know, it was a thriving mill town at one time. You had U.S. Steel there, the tube mill. And in fact, Dick visited there a few times. Gone. Matthew Conveyor, where I worked as an industrial engineering clerk when I was in college, was gone. We used to have two movie theaters, the Manus Theater and Majestic Theater. They're both gone. And I started asking Gary about friends. I mean, people I haven't seen from school and stuff for years. How's so-and-so? He's dead. Well, how's so-and-so? He's dead. How's so-and-so? He's dead. I didn't ask anymore. I was getting scared. I said, whoa, I'm getting old here, aren't I? But, you know, my mom and dad are still buried there at Locust Grove Cemetery. It looks over the town. And I still am a charter member of the Siebenbürgen-Sachsen Club, the first Transylvanian club built in the United States. As a matter of fact, my grandfather, Andrew Schenker, helped build it. Now, how have things changed in your hometown where you grew up? What changes do you not notice when you return? What is still the same? And what's the difference? You know, Jesus went back to his hometown, and things had changed. I mean, he went back. He had 12 disciples with him. He preached, and people said, wow, who's this guy? I mean, we knew him when he was a little boy. We knew him growing up. We know his mother. We know his brothers and sisters are here. I mean, who is this guy? And in fact, some took offense at him. You see, their memories, they remember Jesus, they remember who he was, but they couldn't fathom who he became. And people kind of pigeonhole people. We have a tendency to do that. We have a tendency to judge people and make quick decisions about them. Whoa, he's the carpenter's son. That's who he is, and with Joseph and that, you know. But Jesus, they didn't have a big view of what his ministry was. I mean, who he was. He was the carpenter's son. And as Jesus goes home, the people who watched him grow up and who couldn't make the transition in their minds kept him where they thought he was in their brains. They didn't see who he really was. Don't we have a tendency to label people by what they look like or what they said or their political position or their religion? We tend to label people. We forget that every human being is made in the image and likeness of God. I mean, even though what we know about others, even about ourselves, there's still a lot of mystery. You know, but by my study, I have a little picture, and it's an iceberg. And you see that the part you can see of the iceberg above the water is very small. But under the water, there's so much more. With every human being, even yourselves, there's so much more that God made, so much more than meets the eye. But sometimes we tend to judge. Makes it easier. You know, we say, well, you pigeonhole somebody, then that's who they are, and you have to worry about it. And even if they act differently, you don't notice it. It's like these two doctors that worked in the emergency room at a hospital. And one was a second generation Filipino. He was American, a second generation American, but he was Filipino, so he had darker skin. And there was an accident, and they brought the people in. A lady came in with her eyes closed. She opened them up, and she saw the American, but the Filipino doctor with darker skin. And she said, "Are you Mexican? I can't stand Mexicans. I don't want a Mexican working on me. Give me another doctor." Ever meet people like that? Sometimes I'm like that, you like that. We can make assumptions about people based on prejudice or background that are just plain wrong. Just plain. That's why Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, don't judge. Don't judge. Better thing is to be curious about somebody. If something they say bothers you, then what do you mean? Tell me more about that. That's when you try to get a little more to the truth. The people in Jesus' hometown had the Christ right there in the midst of them. He was there. The healings, the preaching, the parables, they were right there. And they didn't trust. They didn't see who he really was. They were stuck in the past. So Jesus says, well, you know, if they don't want help here, we'll go to the surrounding villages. And this is where it gets interesting in Mark's gospel. Before this, you know, the disciples, which means students, were following Jesus. But now there's this change of strategy in the way he proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom of God. If people rejected him as a carpenter because of their past memories of him, then he would find another way to proclaim the gospel by taking his students and making them something else. He took disciples who are students and he made them apostles, those set out who represented Jesus, who were given the spirit of Jesus, who could do the same things as Jesus. In fact, John tells us in his gospel, in the Holy Spirit, he will do the things that Jesus does and greater things than these because he goes to the Father. We are given the same spirit, folks. The Bible teaches us that in Jesus was open to taking different roads. If he saw the gospel wasn't really being fruitful here, he moved over here with the gospel. You know, at St. Paul's, we do a wonderful gospel ministry. Look at this, gathering the food for people in need. That is beautiful. Around St. Francis Day, we're going to have that blessing of the animals. We can invite friends to come to church, invite family to come to church. I've seen people out here at noon and listening to the carillon and having lunch and just being inspired by that. Dawn's going to have Wednesday the church open with music just to come in and pray, read your scripture, or just listen to the beautiful music and be inspired. We have the last Sunday in October, our German Oktoberfest. When we get to the fall, on September, on first Sundays, we'll have our lunch. We have the last Sunday in August. August. We're going to have our church picnic. Periodically, we'll have Bible studies and spiritual studies. These are some strategies of proclaiming the gospel. Every Sunday we have our worship. But if you have any other, how's the Holy Spirit touching your heart? How else can we proclaim the gospel here in North Park to those bikers and runners and people that pass this church or are going down to the people around? We were passing out water, but because of COVID, that didn't work out so well. So we're trying to think different strategies. But tell your council members. Where's the council members here today? You got Dara, you got Janet, you got Jim and Terry. Tell them, if you have ideas, how can we better proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because that's the most precious thing we can do, is proclaim the gospel of Jesus. And notice how Jesus sent out his disciples. Were they fortified with cameras and makeup to make them look good and the nice suits? No, they didn't take any pack, no money. They took a staff. That's it. They were vulnerable. They were not trusting totally in God and trusting in the kindness of people to be open to receive the gospel. I mean, how many people are vulnerable today? I mean, look at the news. As we have climate change and global warming, you know, in the middle of the country, it's going to be like 130, 140 degrees. They can't even fly helicopters in some. And the fires and the floods. I mean, people lose their homes, or you have a loss of a job, or loss of a loved one, or the betrayal of a friend. You know, we are vulnerable. We feel vulnerable. We can feel for those apostles going out. Very vulnerable. They didn't take a sword with them. They didn't have an army with them. They went out two by two. And vulnerability is something that we all have. I was reading about a story about vulnerability recently. A pastor was, you know, calling on parishioners, and he went to the parishioner's door, and he knocked on the door. Nothing. So he knocked again. He thought he saw some movement in there, so he knocked harder. Nothing. So he took out his pastor's card, and he wrote on it from Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, which says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him." Not long after that, he got a letter with his card in it and another Bible verse. So he read the Bible verses from Genesis chapter 3, verse 10. And it said, "I heard the sound of you, but I was afraid because I was naked, and so I hid myself." You know, there's always more than meets the eyes about these things. You know, we live in a time when so many people feel vulnerable, feel uneasy, and in a way, naked. You know, the wisdom of, I think, what Mark's telling us today in the reading is that at times we have to sometimes change strategies, change maybe even the way we pray, even the way we look at things. Jesus found that he had to change strategies. And at times, so do we. We have to depend on others to receive the good news or to give the good news. I mean, John and I were so supported during this time of our grief. We became very vulnerable and emotionally very, very, very vulnerable. And the love and prayers were so helpful to us. And if others can't help us, well, we go to a different place and shake off the dust from your feet. And that sounds kind of, you know, tough when Jesus says, shake the dust off your feet. But basically, some scholars say that basically what he was talking about was by doing that, hopefully people's hearts would be changed and they'd be more receptive to the good news of Jesus Christ. And for those of us who have, we need to remember that people are in need. We're blessed to be a blessing, to use our resources to help other people. And you don't know. I mean, in Hebrews tells us, welcome the stranger. Because sometimes in doing that, you've welcomed angels in disguise. You know. Remember, Christ is always with you. Going back to Lisa and Gary yesterday, I don't know if you know, but they lost their daughter 4 years ago to cancer. They had 2 months ago, their son, daughter-in-law was having a baby and it was stillborn. They went through so much pain. But Lisa told me yesterday, she would not know what she would do if she didn't have Jesus in her life. People need to hear that. You have the good news. You have the Holy Spirit. You are called today to move from being learners, which we always will be, but to be apostles. Because if you pay attention to what Mark was writing today, those disciples became apostles. Demons were expelled. People were healed. That same spirit's in you to do that same work. May God give you the strength, the inspiration, and courage to be an apostle this week. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.